Continuing in 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, this is lesson 8, and we're going to cover chapters 8 and 9 this morning, both chapters, because they both talk about the same thing. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 both talk about giving. And the title is Grace Giving, because the word grace, see, these two chapters deal with giving. And the word grace appears 10 times in these two chapters because these two words are related. Grace is giving. That's what grace is. When you think of God's grace to us, God's grace is that He gave to us what we did not deserve. And that grace we receive, and then that grace that we receive should motivate us to be giving to others. Just like God gave to us and we received God's grace, that's why we call it grace giving. It should motivate us to be more giving. So the introduction, Paul now shifts gears. Remember, last week we were talking about a completely different topic. Last week we talked about godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. Two different things. Now he just shifts gears and talks about giving financially. So he shifts gears. And look at what this says. The offering part of the church service is just as much a form of worship as the singing and preaching are. Did you know that? You know, every Sunday morning we have an order of service, okay? We have, you know, we have our typical order of service, and we have our hymns, and we have prayer, we have another song, and then we have announcements, and then we have offering. And then, you know, some more songs, and maybe a special music, and then preaching. Every part of the service is a form of worship. And the offering is just as much a form of worship as the singing and the preaching part. It's just as much a form of worship. And God cares about it just as much. It's very important. So these two chapters talk about giving. So number one, example. We're going to see the example of the churches. There were some churches in Paul's day that Paul held up as examples. He said, be like these churches. Look at verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 8. Paul holds up these churches as an example. 2 Corinthians 8, 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, meaning we want you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, the churches of Macedonia were the church at Philippi, book of Philippians, the church at Thessalonica, where we got our 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And then the church at Berea, which you read about in Acts chapter 17, about the Bereans being more noble because they searched the scriptures daily. When Paul went to preach in Berea, they checked what he was preaching. So these are the churches that Paul holds up as an example. Verse 2, he said, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality, meaning they were giving, even in hard times. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their powers they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, meaning the financial gift they wanted to give, and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. Paul said, these churches wanted to give. They wanted to give. So first, letter A. Local churches can be great examples to other local churches in the area of financial giving. Local churches can be examples to other local churches. Our church can be, if we are giving as God would have us to, our church can be an example to other churches. That's what we should want to be, is to be a good example to other churches. And these churches in Macedonia were a good example. Paul said, I want you to look at what these churches are doing. I want you to pay attention to what these churches are doing, how they're giving sacrificially. They're really making sacrifices over in Macedonia. And I want you to notice that, Paul said. You see, it's good to be an example. There are churches in the world today that are great examples of this. I'm sure in foreign lands, other countries of the world where they're facing great trials and difficulty, I'm sure we can find churches in foreign countries right now where the people don't have much and where the people are struggling with different things, maybe even persecution, maybe just financial poverty, but you know what? They're still giving financially to God's work. And I am sure, let's just be honest, I'm sure there's a lot of churches in foreign countries that can put us to shame. I'm sure. Because they give out of the little that they have. And we have abundance, and we don't give as much. Paul said, these churches are examples. Letter B. Letter B. Times of difficulty should not cause us to give less. Listen to what he said in verse 2. He said that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Even though they were in poverty, they still gave liberally. That's amazing. Times of difficulty should not make us give less. That should not be the case. As a matter of fact, listen to letter C. Letter C. To give less to God's work may actually mean more financial problems. Think about that. To give less to God's work may bring more financial problems. Where do I get that from? Well, how about Haggai chapter 1? Turn in the end of the Old Testament. Haggai chapter number 1. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. And then you have Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and then you reach Haggai. Haggai chapter 1. You see, the fleshly reaction is, well, I just, you know, I got this bill now and I have that bill, so I'm just going to give less to God now because I have more bills. And we justify it in our minds as to why we can't give to God's work. And God says, if you do that, you're in trouble. You'll have more financial troubles. Haggai 1, verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying, and he's speaking to the Israelites, God's people. He says, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house, meaning God's house, lie waste? What was happening here in Haggai 1 was that God's temple was in ruins. It wasn't completely refinished. It was destroyed earlier, but during the captivity years, and they hadn't yet finished rebuilding it. But you can be sure all their houses were well built. He calls it sealed houses, special type of ceiling that they had, which was top of the line in those days. He says, God's house is in shambles. Your houses all look great, Haggai said. Your house is in tip-top shape. You know, you made all the necessary home improvements in your home, which of course costs money. But God's house is in ruins. That shouldn't be. Shouldn't be that way. Listen to what he said in verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Think about what you're doing. You're putting yourselves first before God. And listen to what happens in verse 6. Ye have sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And listen to this last phrase. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. It's like putting money in a pocket with holes. By the end of the day, it's going to be gone. And God is saying to them, you're not being blessed financially. You're having financial problems because you're not putting me first. God says, if you give to me first, and we're going to look at some verses about it today, if you just give to me first, I'll bless you. I'll multiply the little that you have, just like Jesus took the little boy's lunch, just two loaves of bread and a few fish, and multiplied it to feed 5,000. The Bible says, little is much when God is in it. So you can't look at your checkbook from a strictly human point of view and say, well, I just can't do it. You have to have faith. You have to have faith that God will take the little that you have if you put God first and He'll make it stretch. But if you do the opposite, you can be sure. If you do the opposite and say, well, I can't give to God anymore. I just have too many bills. God says, well, then you're going to have even less. It's like putting money in a bag with holes.
my wife and I have scripture written down in the New Testament, which is so you're going to read.
Good job. And actually, there's going to be a verse in chapter 9 that repeats that phrase from Galatians. It's good. So, let's see letter D. This is the other side of the coin. Letter D. This is faith now. This takes faith. Giving more to the Lord may actually be the way out of your financial problems. Because you can never outgive God. So something amazing will happen when you have faith. And you, even though the bills might be piling up, etc. And I'm not saying you don't pay your bills. Obviously, you need to pay your bills. But, you know, it might mean eating out less. It might mean going to the movies less. It might mean spending less money on non-essentials. Okay? It's funny how we can find ways to spend money on the things we like to do. Recreational things. But then when it comes to giving to God, I don't have money for that. Yeah, well, did you eat out last week? Yeah. How much did you spend at the restaurant? Oh, you know, 20, 30 bucks. Oh, okay. But you can't give to God. You see, we find a way to do what we want to do.
Amen.
There's, you know, it's just an excuse people use. Giving more by faith, God will give back more. Look at Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. You can never outgive God.
Amen.
So you have financial problems? Good. Keep giving. God will bless you. Amen?
Amen.
God will bless you. God will stretch what you have and make it meet your needs. Yes, Juanita.
And what we don't realize is what we do have, because needed possible
Amen.
For us to have what we have.
That's right. It all comes from Him anyway. So it's all His anyway. And God is very gracious to us. He doesn't demand that we give everything we have. He knows what we need. But He asks for a portion. And we'll talk about that portion and what it should be. Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. You see, why do we need to give to God's work? Well, because it supports the work of the Lord. It supports the workers of the Lord, and it supports missionaries of the Lord, and it supports the gospel going out. It's God's work. It's God's ministry. So, bring ye tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and listen to what God says. Prove me now herewith. In other words, God says, put me to the test. Go ahead. You know you'll never fail if you put God to the test, right? God says, put me to the test, prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing.
Amen.
And there shall not be room enough to receive it. God says, I will bless you. Just give to me. And then look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And Luke 6:38. Jesus says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. The more you give, the more you'll be blessed. We'll see that later in the same passage. So, giving more may be the way. Maybe that's what God is waiting for. And you'll see how things will turn around for you. And letter E, generosity is a great way to show that you have received the grace of God. Generosity, be generous in your giving, as opposed to stingy. Because letter F, these churches were giving sacrificially, even in hard times.
Amen.
Sacrificially, letter F. So letter E is generosity, and letter F, sacrificially. What's the cry of today? It's economy this, economy that. Everybody, right? And no doubt, there are some folks that have lost a job. There are folks out there that are struggling economically. But should that stop us from giving to God's work? It shouldn't. It should not. These churches were in hard times. Paul said it.
Did an example, back
Because I went in the early days of our church. A couple of our church members went and they took a mortgage on the house.
Wow.
One was, Herman.
Well, people have faith.
Because they do not want to see our church fail.
Amen. Putting the work of the Lord first. Now look at verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. Again, Paul's talking about these churches, how they were giving in times of difficulty. Verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves unto the Lord, and told unto us by the will of God. Notice what they did first. Before they ever gave any dollars, they gave themselves first. And that's letter G. When you first give yourself to the Lord, you cannot help but give your money to His work. If you give yourself to God, you're going to give financially to His work too.
Amen.
But you first give of yourselves. That's what it says in verse 5. They first gave of their own selves. They first dedicated their lives to the Lord, like Romans 12:1 says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. A living sacrifice. And that's what they did. They gave themselves. And the words of Jesus, letter H, for where your what? Treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6:21. So that's letter H. The first blank, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In other words, where you put your money, that's where your heart's going to be. Okay? Now, verse 6. Paul talks about how he sent Titus. And verse number 7, he says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, all diligence. You know, this was a gifted church here at Corinth. You can learn that from reading 1 Corinthians. They were a very gifted church. He says, you have all these other wonderful spiritual gifts, but he says, I also want you to grow in your giving gift also. He says in verse number 7. See that ye abound in this grace also. And in verse 8 he says, I speak not by commandment, meaning this isn't something that we force people to do. This has to be something that they want to do, verse number 8. But by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. That's how you show. That's one way we show our love for the Lord. It really is. Because that is where it hits home, isn't it? Your wallet and your pocketbook. That's where sometimes we feel the pain. But it should be out of a heart of love that we give to the work of the Lord. So, letter I, giving is just as important as other spiritual gifts and ministries in the church are. Giving is such an important part of the work of God. And you know, letter J, you cannot truly love without giving.
Amen.
You can't say that you love the work of the Lord if you never give to it. You see? You cannot truly love without giving. What does the Bible say? For God so loved, He what? Gave. When we love, we give. They go hand in hand. Adela? They really did.
They had
three separate tithes.
Then somebody asked the pastor, and then how much we supposed to give? And then he said, give until it hurts.
Amen.
If it's not satisfied for you to give, and then you are not giving it to him.
Right.
You're just going to give whatever it is.
Yeah. Leftovers.
Leftovers.
True. We're going to see that actually in a moment. So, you cannot truly love without giving. So that's the example of the churches. Now number 2, we see the excellence of Christ. There's no better example of giving than Christ. The excellence of Christ. Look at verse 9. Paul said in verses 1 through 8, here's the churches, they're examples to you. But then he says in verse 9, look at Christ. He says in verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Jesus in heaven had all riches. I mean, all the splendors of heaven, all the glories of heaven. And when he came to this earth, he became a poor man. Born in a manger, grew up in Nazareth, the town that people looked at and said, what good can come from Nazareth? That's a poor man's town. And grew up in a poor family. We know Mary and Joseph were poor. We know that for sure because of the offering that they brought to the temple. They brought the offering that the poor families brought, the turtle dove. God made provision for poor families and said, well, if you can't afford to give this animal, then you give this animal. And we know that his family was poor. And we know that Jesus, when he lived on this earth, didn't own anything. He did not have a home. Somebody came to Jesus and said, where do you dwell, Jesus? And Jesus' response to him was, well, the foxes, they have the holes in the ground, and the birds have the nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head.
Amen.
Jesus was poor. He was a poor man. Why did he become poor? So that we could become spiritually rich. Amen. He's our example. And yet we are tight-fisted with our money. You see, the excellence of Christ, letter A, the most generous person ever was the Lord Jesus, letter A. There is no better example. The most generous person ever was the Lord Jesus. He gave up everything, and he gave it up willingly. Letter B, Christ willingly became poor so that we could become spiritually rich. He became poor willingly. And then letter C, Jesus is the standard. Jesus is the standard. Don't compare yourself with the person in the next pew. Well, I give more than them. I'm okay. Compare yourself to the Lord Jesus. Don't compare yourself to the person in the next pew. Because we can all make ourselves feel good by maybe comparing ourselves to someone else. Well, I give more than them, so I must be okay. Jesus is the example. He's the standard. So the excellence of Christ. Now we'll park for the rest of the time in number 3. Encouragement to cheerful giving. Encouragement. Paul now spends the rest of the time, after giving examples of the churches and Christ, now he's going to spend the rest of the time encouraging us to become cheerful givers. He says, I've given you examples. You've got some other churches you can look at. You have Jesus himself to look at. Now you need to do it. Encouragement to cheerful giving. Verse 10. And herein I give my advice. Paul says, let me give you my advice. Of course, this advice is from the Lord as he was writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But he says, let me give you my advice, for this is expedient for you. Meaning, this is going to benefit you. You know who benefits when you give? You do. Because you receive God's blessings. You know this whole giving thing and God asking for us to give to his work? It's not because God needs our money. God is not a beggar. God owns everything. He doesn't need your money. It's not as though God is up in heaven saying, I need them to give to me. He doesn't need your money. He wants you to give, though, to show your love, to be an example, and so you can receive God's blessings. God says, I want to pour out a blessing upon you. So he says, this is beneficial for you. And in verse 10 he continues, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now Paul is reminding them of letter A. The church at Corinth made plans to be involved in helping the needy churches of Jerusalem. Now this is what is going on. This is what's going on. Paul went to Corinth the first time. He started the church. He got them established. And he let them know about a project that he was in charge of. Paul was in charge of a project. And the project was helping the needy churches of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was where the churches all started. Right after Jesus died and rose again, the churches began in Jerusalem. But they went through difficulties. They were being persecuted by the Romans. And the Romans would come and take what they had. The Romans would persecute them. They were going through a lot of persecution. Paul himself persecuted them before he got saved. He was a persecutor. He knew this very well. So now Paul's saved. And Paul is now leading a ministry. He would travel to other churches and say, how would you like to be involved in helping the needy churches of Jerusalem? The same thing goes on today. Every Wednesday night here at church, during prayer meeting, we read missionary letters. And these are, some of them are churches in foreign countries, some of them are churches here in America, and some of them have real financial needs. Some of them are trying to build buildings. They don't even have a building yet. Some of them, the members can't support the work because they're poor. They need help. And you see, we can participate in that even today, so there's nothing different. Paul says, here's a project. Would you like to be involved? And they made plans to be involved. But, as the letter A continues, they had not yet followed through. So Paul writes the second letter to them and says, I want to remind you about this project that you said you wanted to be a part of. He says, I hope that you still want to be involved in it. So look at Romans 15. You see this project that Paul was leading. Paul was a missionary. And Paul led this project. Help the believers in Jerusalem. Romans 15, verse 25. Here's the project. Romans 15, 25. Paul said, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia. See, once again, he mentions those folks in Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution. Listen, for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. These are believers in Christ that needed real help. We're talking probably food and clothing help. Okay? Not to pay their cable bill or their cell phone bill. No, we're talking real legit needs. Food and clothing type of needs. Paul said, we want to help these brethren. There are brethren, Paul says. You know, just because you've never met them, and just because they might live thousands of miles away, they're still your brothers and sisters in Christ. And you're supposed to care for them and help them. They're family. Verse number 27. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things, meaning offerings. And then look at 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. So I think this is interesting. Paul's not even writing to the church at Corinth to take care of their own church. He's talking about above and beyond. He's saying as a whole church to give to other churches. How about that? He's not talking about just taking care of your own church. Paul takes it to the next level. He says, yeah, take care of your own church too. But also, as a whole church, help other churches that need help. That should be our outlook. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 3. Paul says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality, your offerings, unto Jerusalem. Helping other churches. In other words, churches helping churches. That's what God wants.
That scripture that you just read is on our
offering envelopes. Amen. Good. You know, we shouldn't just be an island where we just, you know, Community Baptist Church of Garfield should not be an island unto itself. We should look as a church to help other churches. And guess what? We do. We do. By supporting missionaries, by helping other churches that have special projects maybe that they need. And we do that. And that's why missions giving is so important. Because that's the portion of the budget, if you will, the missions part, that goes to this very thing that Paul's talking about. Churches helping churches. That's what it's all about. And you never know where your missions money is going to. In other words, that missions money that you give might help to buy, help a new church buy hymnals. you know, so that they can sing the songs of the faith. It might help a church in Africa maybe supply Bibles so their church members can have Bibles. I mean, you just don't know all the good things, and you probably won't know until you get to heaven, all the good things that your missions money has accomplished.
Amen.
Churches helping churches. That's what this is all about. So Paul was in charge of this project, and he's letting the church at Corinth, he's reminding them about it. And verse 11, he says, "Now therefore perform the doing of it." He said, you know, you made plans to do this. Now do it. He's encouraging them. Why? Because Paul wanted their money? No. This wasn't for Paul. Paul's not saying, yeah, give more money because I need help. No. Paul said, give so that we can see God's blessings on these other believers. This was not for Paul. Paul's not asking to line his own pockets here. This is not for him. This is for others. And he said, now do it, that there may be a performance of it. So letter B, we ought to follow through. We ought to follow through with the plans we make. Speaking particularly here, financial giving plans. That's why every year, usually around the month of February, in our church here, we hand out the Faith Promise cards. And that is what these churches were doing, making plans to give. Saying, all right, Lord, by your grace, this year, 2011, I hope to give this much per week to missions. And I'm trusting you, Lord, to provide it.
Amen.
And that's what it's all about. And we need to follow through with that, not forget about it by, you know, May and stop. No, we should follow through with it and be committed to it.
Amen.
Verse 12. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. What is he saying? Letter C. God holds us accountable for what we have, not what we don't have.
Amen.
God looks at what you do have and says, okay, from what you do have, give a portion. Give a portion. And then, letter D. You ever think about this? Why do some people have more than others, right? You know, why? It's always been that way. There's always, since the beginning, and there always will be, the rich and the poor and everybody in between. Why is it that way? Well, letter D. God blesses some with more so they can help others with less. Did you ever think about that? Yeah. Now, I'm not a socialist. And I don't believe in socialism, and I know there's folks in our country that want socialism and folks that are advocating, you know, take the money from the rich to give to the poor. No, I'm not advocating that at all. But I'm talking about it from a perspective here of letter D, that God blesses someone more so they can help others with less. This is not a legalistic code of socialism, but rather a free will opportunity for charity. And you know what? In history, in this country's history, before the days of immense taxing of the rich, etc., you understand that when these folks like the Rockefellers and the others that were extremely wealthy in this country's history, a lot of them are what are called philanthropists, meaning they gave of their monies to build things in the community and to help. You know, they didn't have to have the government come and take it from them to do this. And a lot of times they will do that. Okay? And that's all, you know, this isn't economics class, but God does bless some with more so they can help those with less. And I believe that. Look at verse 13. He says, "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened," verse 14, "but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their need, their want." You see? And who knows, Paul says later in verse 14, the tables may turn. Years down the road, you might be the one in need, and guess what? They'll remember how you helped them, and you know what? They'll help you when you have a need. And that's how it works. You know, maybe as churches, again, you know, this church might help another church. But who's to say 10 years from now that this church might not have a need? And then that church down there will remember, wow, you know, Community Baptist Church helped us when we had a need. And you know what? Now they have a need. Let's help them out. And it's a wonderful thing, helping each other. And that's the way it should be. That's what Paul is saying here. When you have more, it's because God wants you to help others with it. Not so you can go and, you know, use it for selfish reasons. Now, verse 18. Let's skip down to verse 18. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And he goes on, and actually I want us to skip down to verse 21. Providing for honest things. Not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Now, Paul is dealing with handling a lot of funds here. Paul is dealing with a lot of money that's being funneled to him to be delivered to Jerusalem. And Paul says here, he says, I have Titus with me. He's holding me accountable. He says, I have other men with me. And he says, we're doing this honestly in the sight of everybody. In other words, it wasn't Paul saying, yeah, send all the money to me, make all the checks payable to me, and I'll make sure it gets there. Yeah, trust me. You've heard that before. No. Paul says, I have other men with me that are holding me accountable, and we're all watching each other, because unfortunately, in the ministry, how many times do you hear of terrible stories of big funds coming in, and some of those funds finding its way into somebody's pocket before it goes to what it should go to?
Amen.
And that's why in any church, this church included, it's never one person handling the money. Never. Never. Never does one person handle the money. It's always two or three that work together in the counting and the receiving and the recording, and they sign their names to the number sheet, etc. It's all for accountability, and that's letter E. Paul was sure that the funds were handled with integrity. And that's so important in today's day. It was important in Paul's day. Integrity. Honesty. Holding each other accountable. There is no one person handling all the money by himself. We don't do that, and it should never be that way. And Paul said, we're handling things honestly in the sight of the Lord, obviously, and in the sight of men. Accountability. Now we skip down to chapter 9, and we just read a few verses here of chapter 9. It's just basically repeating the same thing. Chapter 9, verse 1. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write unto you. For I know the forwardness of your mind. God, you know, Paul's saying, I know you want to do this. And in verse number 3, he says, I have sent the brethren to you. And he tells them in verse number 5, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof we have noticed before, that the same might be ready. And look at verse number 6. But I say this, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. That's the verse that Brother Tony mentioned at the beginning. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So, first and foremost, letter F, we ought to be prepared. We ought to be prepared to give to God's work. In other words, come to church ready to give. It should not be, oops, I forgot my pocketbook. Whoops, what do you know? Oops, I forgot my wallet. Oh, well, I guess I can't give this week. Man, yeah, we probably left it home on purpose. We need to come to church prepared to give. Prepared, not... And it should be ready, not, oh man, I forgot about the offering. Let me quickly see what I can do. We should come to church ready, knowing what we're going to give, and you know, as soon as offering time, we're ready. We should come to church prepared. So that's what he's saying here. He wants them to be prepared. In verse 4, he said, I don't want to find you unprepared, it says in verse 4. I don't want to send these men to you, to your church, and you know, they say, hey, we're here for the offering, and have people look at these men and say, what offering? We're not ready. Be prepared to give. Be prepared. And verse 6, he says, if you give bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. And that is letter G. Letter G, there's no blank, but letter G says, give more, be blessed more. Give less, be blessed less. That's the formula. Give more, be blessed more. Give less, be blessed less. So you choose what you want. More blessings? Well, then give more. God will bless you more. And then in closing, verses 12 through 15, we don't want to skip verse number 7. We don't want to skip verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly.
That's right.
every week I got to give offering. I can't stand this part of the service. All I want is my money. No, that is a bad attitude, and that's not the truth anyway. Again, it's for God's work, and God doesn't want that. He says, not even necessity. Well, you know, it's my spiritual duty to give. I guess I have to give, and I don't really like to, but it's my spiritual duty as a man of God or a woman of God. That's duty. I have to do this, so I'm going to do it. I don't want to, but I know if I don't, God won't be happy, so I will out of duty. No, not out of necessity, not because you have to, but notice verse 7, for God loveth a cheerful giver. A happy giver, happy to give to God's work. Like, this is a great blessing that God allows me to give. You know, God's given me all this, it's just the least I can do to give back to Him. That's the attitude. And in verse 12, it talks about how when we give, it'll spur others to give thanks to God. And then look at verse 14. And by their prayer for you, which long after you in the exceeding grace of God. So Paul said, hey, you're going to give financially to that church in Jerusalem. And you know what? They're going to know where it came from. And you can be sure they're going to be praying for you. And they're going to be thanking God for you. And what happens here is letter H. Nothing will connect you more to a ministry than by giving to it. Once you have given financially to a ministry, you have been connected with that ministry. And you are now partners with that ministry. Whether it's a church in Africa, Indonesia, the Philippines, or wherever, once you give financially, you are connected with that ministry. You're partners with them now. And they're partners with you because they're going to be praying for you. And they're going to be thanking God for you. So now you're receiving their prayer support. And you're now connected with them. And that's what Paul says. So in conclusion, I wish we had more time, but in conclusion, someone has said that there are three books essential for the worship service. Number one, obviously, the first book is the Bible. The second book is the hymn book. And the third book is the pocketbook. Amen? You need all three for a church to work. All right, we're going to close in prayer. We are out of time, and we'll ask Emilio, would you please close us in prayer?